to those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is the God Journey.
Has it really been 6 weeks since we last had a podcast together? Well, counting on the calendar, it seems that way. And also on our last podcast was 167 comments ago. That's how many people jumped on to the last podcast. And really the conversation is a lot about the content of the podcast. It actually took off in a whole different direction of people discovering community together and having conversations that were valuable. We'll talk about that more in a little bit as I catch up with some things around here on this particular podcast. Hi, I'm Wayne Jacobson. This is The God Journey. And no, I'm sorry to say, we're not starting up with an every week podcast coming up the next season. I've actually had a wonderful time since we were last together, been in some incredible space that has been very good for me and has opened up some creativity in some other areas that, I don't know, may change what unfolds in the days to come. We'll have to see. Let me catch up a bit. 6 weeks ago when the podcast aired, I was off in Kentucky for the first time in the bluegrass state and all the horse pastures and context of that community. Loved it. Met some wonderful people. We had people come in from all over just to have a conversation about the God journey and living loved and life like that, and met some great people, spent time with a dear family. Enjoyed that immensely. Caught up with an old friend, in fact, someone had been on our podcast a while back, Bob Stamps, who was the former chaplain at ORU when Sarah and I were there, was the man preside over our wedding. Had a chance to catch up with him, and man, I love that. I love how just life comes together, and there's people. You go somewhere, and there's just people to be with that have been significant in my life at various seasons, and then get to meet new friends, and I'll be part of that. This day after tomorrow, I leave for Boise, and we'll spend the weekend there. And honestly, that's the last trip I have scheduled until the Israel trip in February. And I went through a similar thing last November, came back from a trip without anything scheduled, and some things happened. And I've got lots of invitations. So I'm not sitting here going, I have no place to go. Please invite me. I just haven't sensed God saying, yeah, now's the time to go there. And that's what it takes for me to go somewhere. So we've had got back from Kentucky. I was able to take a lovely break. Sarah and I got a month to go up to the High Sierras near Shaver Lake, California, and hang out there. And just, I mean, gosh, our time there was so full. It was full of family for a week, just our family hanging out with some old friends and loving that. The screenwriter for So You Don't Want a Church Anymore came by for a couple of days. We're working on that screenplay and trying to shape it. I love how that thing's coming together. And people saying, when are you going to shoot the movie? When's it going to be available? This is a process. And honestly, we're in that part of the process where 90% of what gets this far never gets made. So I'm not under any illusions here other than I'm getting to live in that story again and reshape it for a different movie treatment. It's an adaptation. Get to work with somebody and some people who are real excited about that story. So having a lot of fun with it, whether it ever gets to a movie or not, whether we get the funds to do it and find the people. And I mean, yeah, we're hopeful. I mean, we wouldn't be putting all this time into it if we didn't think it would happen. But it's a long way from happening, and the time frame is somewhat slow at best. Also got a chance to review the next phase of the Shack screenplay as it's kind of going through some reworking a bit and trying to figure out how to get that into production. And spent some time with Brad and Kelly, too. Loved enjoying them and their family. Their oldest is off to college. And really enjoyed our chance to connect with them and hang out and have some fellowship together. I know Brett hasn't been here in forever, and that wasn't a plan when we got there. We just thought he'd be on here periodically, but his life's gone a different direction, and getting here just is not something that's in the priority at the moment, so we'll see how that goes. In any case, did some work on screenplays, had family there for a week, had some old friends we caught up with. I mean, Sarah and I used to live in that area. We lived there for 25 years. And so we've got lots of friends. And when we're in the area, people want to come see us. I had to go to the emergency room because of an elbow issue that turned out to be not so much. But so we had a lot of fun. But what was the best thing for me, honestly, not doing a podcast, didn't blog much other than continue to put the Engage up and a couple of other things. But I tell you, there's something soul-numbing about living in the public eye. And I think I've learned that over the past 5-6 weeks. And I love what I do. I love the fact that I get a chance to write, that people care about things that I write, read my blog, listen to. This is a very well-listened-to podcast. And I know people love it, and people write me with how much it shapes and changes them. And I enjoy doing it. It's never been a chore. I've never done a podcast where it's like, boy, I better do a podcast. It's that time. I do them when I enjoy doing them, and sometimes, and that has been every week for a long, long time. And then when it's not there, it's not there. But I just, in getting away from blogging and then the amount of email, every time I do a blog or do a podcast, the amount of email that comes from that is sometimes overwhelming, to be honest. But I've managed to still, at this point, respond to every email that has needed a response from me. And that's just because I've trusted God for the time to do that, and the people actually were right, and try and be generous in helping people who have been touched by something I've written or said, but are trying to process it in a way. So I want to be helpful with that as best I can. But it's just been good to be out of the public eye, to have a personal journey, to enjoy my family, to enjoy conversations with people that are significant in our lives, and watch how that unfolds, and be away from just the normal stuff. And part of that for me was just, I guess we'll talk about it now. I've been kind of not sure when I want to or how I want to talk about it, to be honest. If you've asked about writing projects lately, and many of you have as I've traveled around, I said I got 9 books in various stages of work in my computer, and I do. I've got files I've thrown notes into, and those are kind of collected into 9 different projects that someday, and I'm under no illusions that I'm going to get all 9 of those done, but I am playing with them and to see what God does. One of those has been a book called, and I've talked about it as Finding Church. How do we really find the church Jesus is building in the world? The subtitle of the book is, what if there really is something more? And I've been playing with this for a long time, and I've got pages and pages and pages and pages of notes and ideas and illustrations and stories and things I wanted to share. And the first few days of my being away and being in the mountains and just spending some time with God and just letting my life be, I wasn't there really to put this book together, but there was a few days actually, and it's gone on since, of just real revelation of how this book could fit together, what the chapter flow would be like. And I mean, just within a few hours, it was like threads from my entire life, from my senior paper from college, to things that I was passionately taught about as a young man, to places I've ended up on the journey now. And just watch the Holy Spirit take threads of things from various places in my life, pull them together, and begin to knit this tapestry, or sew this tapestry, I don't know what the language is, for this book I've been wanting to write. And now I'm just, I can't stay away from it. I am just thrilled. Finished the first chapter right before I started this podcast, and I mean finished it, done. Love it. I read 4 paragraphs to someone yesterday that I've been talking to about the book, somebody that's, I think, got some perspective to kind of backstop me as I'm going to say some things that are pretty far out there, not different than we've said on the podcast, really, but putting them together in a way that, I think will be a bit controversial. There'll be a lot of pushback, but I'm not writing it for people who don't see it. I'm writing it to encourage people who do have the living church of Jesus Christ planted in their heart, and maybe the frustration of having not found it on the planet. And I'm going to write to those people about where and how to find her, and how to live in a reality that exists outside what human convention can do. I don't want to get too much of a way, but I read 4 chapters to a friend yesterday. He was like, don't stop, keep reading. I like hearing that. It means that somehow it's resonating. I don't know if I'll put the first chapter up. I don't even, before we print the book. I don't really know. I do know what's on my heart is somehow we give this book away at a pretty wide level. And I don't mean it'll be totally free. It may be. It may totally be free. It may be just deeply discounted. It may just be e-booked. But I even want to see it come out in other translations fairly quickly. Some of the folks that have done translation stuff for us in the past. because I think it's that kind of helping people relax into a reality that we miss because we're so trying to produce it ourselves, to produce what we can't produce. The temple of God is the one not made with hands. It's not what we can do. It's not collections of Christians to do things together. It's a reality, and I have not been as captured by a project as this one has captured me. And for the last few days, I mean, I've talked about it, written the first chapter in just 2 days, which is, a lot of notes were already there, so I wasn't going from scratch. But man, and I look at each chapter, I look at the flow of this, and I'm just really, really excited. So I don't know. That comes back to how much podcasting and how much travel am I going to do this fall? And I'm not thinking much. I'm actually thinking I'm going to stick pretty close to home. If I can keep doing a chapter a week toward the end of the year and double that up on a couple of weeks, get just, 1.2 done every week, I'm actually going to have this thing done by the end of the year, at least the first draft. So I'm kind of excited about that. And I know it's going to take some significant amount of time to get this thing put together, the way I think, the way I'm sensing it in my heart. So, like I said, we'll have a podcast now and then. We'll have it when I'm excited about it and feel like we're going to do it. I know I'm supposed to, cultivate my platform and keep people dependent on the God journey and the blog. And, if you don't build your audience, you're going to lose it to someone else. And you know what? I've discovered in the last month, all that stuff is a bunch of hooey. I don't really want to live that way. I want to live inside the things God's unfolding in my life every day, watch how that happens and how it touches people, and then not have to create something that then is like a machine that I have to feed every week or every day. And as I said, getting out of the public eye for the last, 6 weeks, not doing a lot of stuff that's generated a lot of dialogue and I get a lot of both. I get a lot of email from people that are really touched by things and trying to process it and want help, and I love that. And then I do get the email and the blog postings from people who are just going to bully their way through the body of Christ. And I've decided that I'm not going to allow those kinds of blog postings, whether it's on the blog or the God Journey, to go through. And yet it takes a lot of time to kind of wander through all the ways people want to use what's happening to advance their little hobby horse for the body of Christ. And so most of, like I said, last podcast, 167 emails on there. It's a wonderful conversation that goes on there beyond the content of the podcast. And it was, what was lovely, if you haven't read through all 167, what was lovely is that people were connecting relationally across continents in just having the freedom to share their own perspectives, to be loved in those perspectives and cared for people to share other ideas and thoughts without being condemning or exploitive or judging or dismissive. I was just telling you, I love the way it unfolded. I think as you read through it, you'll find other people were incredibly blessed by that as well. And really, isn't that the simplicity of what church is really all about? The life of the church in the world is the kind of conversations you can have with people that enhance your discovery of who God is. And it's conversations that are filled with empathy and kindness and graciousness and not needing to convince others that we're right, but sharing freely and watching other people go on their journey and let the Holy Spirit be the convincer, all the kind of stuff we've talked about here. And what I love is when that happens, even on a kind of a blog comment section, obviously better when it's personal conversations. Obviously, that's the wonder of it. And you know what I was thinking about? I was reading through that, and a lot of people talked about being lonely. And we're going to read some email in a little bit from some people that expressed that as well, that somehow they're not finding people of like mind on this journey, and all of their friends that are part of religious institutions somewhere look at them with such suspicion and always trying to convince them they're wrong, and they feel judged and put down. And they're just dying to have the kinds of conversations with people that are nurturing and life-giving and God-unveiling. And I guess I want to say this. If your religious friends can't have that conversation, I'm willing to bet there's people at work near you. There's people live on your street. There's people you pass by every day that are spiritually hungry, They would love to have a non-manipulated conversation about God things and want to be loved in the process, even if they're not ready to talk about the God thing yet. And I what I love about the relationship Sarah and I have right now is they're kind of all over the spectrum. There are some of those that we're just in sync theologically with where we're at in the journey, where they're at in theirs, and you know, we get together and really fire each other's passions in terms of our spiritual journeys. There's other people we're with that can't even see the mountain Sarah and I are wandering around on spiritually. But we get to love them. That's what I love about incarnational love. We get to love them where they are, not where we are, not where we want them to be, not what do Sarah and I need today to encourage our journey. So we get to love them where they are in theirs. And I think that's where loneliness, that sense of, you know, yeah, maybe you'd love somebody to talk about this journey with. And I, you know, use the comment section on the blog, use Livestream Journeys. There's lots of conversation going on there at times where people are connecting in a virtual way. And you can have that kind of conversation online with people, and it can be wonderful. But I think where loneliness gets attacked, one, loneliness, and I like, there's a lot of conversation about this, that loneliness really indicates a flaw somewhere in our relationship with God, that loneliness is what we feel toward humans when we're not having from God what we hope to have from Him. Because when we have it with Him, we have fellowship with Him, we don't have a sense of loneliness in the world, even if there's not somebody directly sinking in with what I'm doing. But there are people around us just to love and to know, and because we don't need them to feed something in us, we can be with them. And so I think part of that loneliness thing is there's a deeper calling to connect with God in a way that mitigates that loneliness. And I think there's also just let's love freely who's before us every day and trust that God will, through that, put us in whatever conversations, relationships most helpful to our journey right now. And I suspect that we were freer about that and less engaged, because this is what Sarah and I find to be true, wherever we are. And we go all over the world and hang out with strangers. But when we love them where they're at, we get into conversations that stimulate our journey, even if they don't seem to be in the same space at all. But we're not talking church. We're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about kingdom. We're talking about the unfolding of God's work in the world, and there's a lot of people you're going to have that conversation with without getting down to, you know, are you doing it inside the walls, outside the walls? I notice in a lot of our language, particularly, you know, people who frequent my web landing areas, is that there's that outside the box, without the walls kind of language that doesn't just kind of define where they're at. It actually feels divisive in the sense that other people don't get it, so they're somehow less than. And I really feel like the joy of this journey is let's just love people where they are. Let's just keep loving people where they are. Have friendships with people who even don't see things the way you do. Just hang out with them. Find out what's going on in their life. And there's so much joy that comes just from that. I think it's incredibly powerful. Let me read you a couple of emails, because some of the things that we have kind of expressed that here. John wrote this on the blog. He said, my wife and I don't think it's the last blog. This was quite a ways back, actually. My wife and I have been listening in and off for five or six years or so. We've lost count on the number of times we found ourselves saying, oh, yes, to these conversations. Like many of your listeners, I come from a family completely bound by the organization. My dad and both brothers are all pastors. The conversation you had with the pastor whose daughter came clean is a conversation I would love to have with my family, but they all treat the fact that they don't go to a building anymore. But they all treat the fact that we don't go to a building anymore, 2 years now, as a non-subject. So many times we've been able to identify with letters you read out, Wayne, and we pray for the day when we find like-minded folks where we are. We're still feeling very much alone in this, as we have no one that will relate socially that shares our stance. However, it is really thrilling to be reminded that we are not alone, even though most of you are across the pond. Actually, most of people who listen to God Journey are not across the pond. This is actually from England, just outside London somewhere. I get a lot of email from London, a lot from New Zealand, Australia. There's people all over the world that are waking up to a spiritual reality. But he says, and I don't know why I've chosen this particular podcast to post this, but it does fall an evening where I was at a pub with some mates that I've known for years, all Christians, all fed up with the institution, but no inclination to leave it, and me feeling so alone in this and really finding it hard to love them where they are, your bit in there was really what I needed. I think what we've come to realize is that it's a long haul, but God's with us. And it's good to know that even if we are nowhere near us geographically, that there are many of you who feel the same. Love to you all. And John, appreciate that. I think there are a lot of people. But I'm looking for ways you can be in that pub with people that are struggling with the same disillusionment you are, but maybe haven't come to the conclusion you've come to yet. But if the conversation is about Jesus and not about church or lack of church or what church is or the failures of religious institutions, if we tap people's hunger for Jesus and we talk around that, some of our fellowship this month, Sarah and I were away, were with people who attend, lead, are part of those kinds of things. We found a way to have conversations with them where really the fact that we don't and really aren't supportive of a lot of those, what those efforts mean and what they often do to people, doesn't have to affect our conversation at all. We still get to be in on who Jesus is and what he's showing us and how's life going for you, how's work, how's your marriage. There's lots of ways to touch and engage people in conversation that just doesn't have to be around whether you're in or out of a particular institution. So I know particularly early on you want to find people who see it the way you see it, but I just want to encourage the conversation with God that allows you to be with people and that not being the primary issue. And this from Julie, and this is on the Lifestream Journeys, kind of an email list that I do over at Lifestream for folks. She said, I've just been amazed. I've been outside of organized religion for almost 7 months now, and I can say it's been lonely and definitely a different journey for me. Learning how this works without working it through the God Journey podcast has been a lifeline, and understanding that it's okay to feel frustrated, to be lonely, to wonder if anything can happen outside of, quote-unquote, the church, to get the brunt of my decision from friends still in the aquarium while still doubting myself. It's been tough to trust God to bring people my way. And nothing has happened for a great while. But I am seeing that God had to get me not only out of the box, but far away from it to actually see clearly what he needs to show me and teach me and to help me understand about him and especially about myself. And Julie, I think that's brilliant. It's only been 7 months. I always hear that. And I know 7 months seems long, or John's 2 years seemed long if you're at the beginning edge of that. But 7 months, 2 years, that's really nothing in terms of learning how to rethink inside a relationship with God instead of all the religious activity and obligation and guilt that has been used on us for so long. It really takes some time to get outside that aquarium to really realize how deeply it has shaped our journeys in a way that's not been the most helpful. I even say I have a lot of pastors who will say to me, and some even this summer, just, I'd love to do what you're doing. I'd love to help people the way you help people. But you know what? I just can't figure out how to make that happen without, you know, and usually it comes down to how do I make a living doing that if I don't have a position as a pastor and a salary that comes from that. And that's a whole other issue as to how God can care for us in ways other than that. But in spite of that, they'll usually come to the point of, you know, I'm just going to settle in here and just make the best of it. And, you know, overall, it's pretty good. And I'll try and talk about it that way. And I'll just say, you know what? You don't know. If you walked away from this for 2 years, you don't know what you would see then that you don't see now. And I don't say it just from my journey. I say that from all kinds of people I've met who in that aquarium, the water you swim in and just the religious obligation, activity, the level of exhaustion and busyness, you can't believe how much that shapes and distorts a view of God and actually a view of how do you love other people. And sometimes, whether it's John or Julie, sometimes you just need space away from all that. You just do. You need time to let God make himself known, to see how to relate to people without all the religious overtones that makes us so dysfunctional. Loving with an agenda is not loving at all. Loving is to care about people where they are, not where you would like them to be, not where you need to manipulate their response in some way. And if you learn that, life becomes such a powerful thing. And there are people, there are all kinds of people for you to relate to and love. Your kids' schools, at neighborhood events, just get involved in your community. I think one of the things that the Christian religion didn't do well is we created our own subcultures. And we didn't learn how just to engage normal people anymore. They had to be people who had the insider language and talked the way we talked and motivated the way we were motivated. And we didn't have friendships with people who weren't part of our club. And one of the things you're going to learn, Julie and John Bull, is how to live just as a friend to people. And you learn that as God gets to be a friend to you, as you learn how he's loving you and relating to you, and you just love other people that way, where they are, not where you are. And that becomes real important. And then Christy from this in an email, why is it that so many people break free of institutional churches only to become super religious about their chosen expression of faith? Some people get religious about their freedom and highly rigid about what they will or won't do as a Christian. I think this can be normal for a season because it's a form of self-defense and defenses have been violated in the church. I like that insight. It has. So people come out of that and you know what? I'm right and they're wrong. And boy, I tell you, when you meet a bully, a verbal bully, that's the same. I mean, that's just that same religious spirit of I'm right. I've got to prove to you I'm right. And if you disagree with me, you're a jerk and you've challenged me. And she, I like the way she said it. It's a form of self-defense because our defenses have been violated. I think it's often true. And it's also, she goes on, it's also slow to shake off the very black and white thinking that was encouraged in such churches. For eventually, a lot of people do line up and realize that love and relationship are what matters most. But why is it that some people leave the institutional church and become worse and more controlling than the church they left? And it's a question, obviously, from Christy, and I don't know that I can answer it. My gut would say this. If you don't connect with God in a real way, and you just leave the institutional church, you'll take all the baggage right out with you and create something else. It was just my needs didn't get met there, and now I'm going to create something that will meet my needs, and I'm going to push people into doing that. Why did they come more controlling than the group they left? That's sad, but I have also, Christy, you're not alone. I've seen that as well. I've seen people who now we've got the right way to do it. This is the way the early church did it. They met in the homes, and we're going to have house church, and the only people now walking with Jesus are doing it in house church. And, yeah, they become more controlling than what they're in. What I love about people who know God is they become less controlling, less forceful. They don't have anything to prove. They don't have anything to gain. They're not using you for something they need. Religion twists us all up to do that, to use people for what we need, to do something bullyish for someone else's good. Boy, did I get an email. Actually, it was a blog posting this week just like that, and I took it off. It was on there when I woke up in the morning, and I said, you know what, I'm just not – I could respond to it, but you know what, I already had responded to this guy, and he was just going to kick back. I'm right. You're wrong. You got to see it, and God put me in your life to show you this. You know what, dude? I've really had enough people like that in my life. And I what I know about people like that, or Christy, what you suggested, people are controlling. They just don't know who God is yet. They don't know that God's in control of the universe, so they don't have to be. So their whole deal, especially when they think they're right, they'll bully you any way they can bully you. And I've been bullied every conceivable way somebody can bully you. People who want what they want have no sense of humanity and care and compassion in relationship. So Christy goes on, I am finding that this is not uncommon and that a lot of parachurch groups and people who break free from conventional modern churches are prone to being genuine control freaks and come across as future cult leaders. Why do you think this is? Well, Christy, I love your honesty. I do. And as there has been a rise in so-called Christian cults over the last decade, as more and more people leave the institutional church, and I don't know if that's true. I'd love to see that statistic, Christy, if you've got it. There are more and more cults. There's more and more little clubs of people. And, you know, particularly if you're a pastor type where you need to make a living by creating now, if you can't do it as a pastoring a church, so you're going to facilitate a network of house churches. But it's still about income stream for you, and it's still about ego and getting people to follow and finding your platform or identity in how other people come with you. You're right. Leaving an institutional setting is not going to be helpful. But Christy concludes this way. I have no desire to return to the IC. or the institutional church, but I'm equally unimpressed by the few home churches I've attended and heard of. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it sometime. Well, Christy, those are a lot of my thoughts. I don't think we came out of a human-built thing to get into other human-built things, albeit smaller, in homes instead of buildings. That's better use of funds. I think religion in the home is more oppressive for the people who participate, but less oppressive for other people in the community that doesn't know it exists. So it's kind of a do or die. That said, and I know I'll get this email, I know I'll get this blog posting, there's some home churches that call themselves that, that actually have some pretty good relational stuff going on. So that's not a broad sweep of every home church is a bad idea. But the idea of creating a home church and putting our rules to it and having policy statements and doctrinal identities and establishing all of that just makes you the same thing in a smaller venue. The one thing Jesus asks us to do, love one another as I have loved you. That didn't tell us to build a church, didn't tell us to create a house group, didn't tell us to build networks of things. He actually said, I'll handle that end of it for you. Let me do that. Let me, we talked about it before, unmediated spirituality, unmanaged community, unmaintained networks. Not unmaintained by God, because they are. God will do our spirituality. He will manage our community. He will maintain the networks. He does it relationally, not through our human contrivances of we'll create lists and we'll have leaders and spokespeople and we'll get a movement going. And, you know, we've tried that for 2,000 years. Our 2,000-year-old experiment with man trying to replicate the life of the church in a human institution has failed miserably. And that doesn't mean God isn't in there. It doesn't mean there aren't wonderful things God does, even through man's flawed attempts. But overall, our institutions, our ways of trying to make something permanent in a human kind of way, always has led to abuse and being hurtful and demanding conformity or paying a price for not conforming. And if we're going to find the life of Jesus in our day, I'm with Christy on this, we're not going to find it by leaving one controlling venue for another controlling venue. Or now I get to be the controller that I wasn't before. It's got to be letting Jesus be the head of his church, us being in love with him, embracing his kingdom, and being so absorbed in Jesus. First chapter that I finished earlier today really had this as its conclusion. I spent 20 years trying to find the right structure for church because as a young pastor, that's what I was supposed to do. How can we find a mode of doing church that would best allow the life of Jesus to captivate a group of people? And I got kicked out of the one that I had the most say in creating and shaping. And when I got kicked out of that and discovered that a lot of that was human effort based and learning then to live loved, learning that, boy, God really wanted me to be loved by him and to live out of that love in my life and not project my needs on other people. And I remember having a conversation with a friend. In fact, it was a friend I was with a few weeks ago. And he said to me, you don't talk about the church anymore. When are you going to start talking about the church? This is about 19 years ago. And I say, you know, for right now, I'm learning to live in the love of God and enjoy it to the max. And we'll see what happens from there. I may not even get back to trying to figure out the church for another 10 years. Well, actually, in the last 19, that conversation does not engage me. It hasn't. Oh, there were times I felt like I should. We should try some things. We should do something because obviously this is our responsibility. What I've learned in the last 19 years, it's not my responsibility. I learned to live loved and to love people around me. And you know what? 19 years later, I find myself living in incredible expressions of the Church of Jesus Christ, not only locally in relationships that I have here, but relationships that we shared while we were up in the mountains for a month and relationships that I have with people all over the world. What happens is this. When I decided that church wasn't the issue, that living loved was, then I found myself waking up to the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well in the world. It fills the whole earth with his glory. It's not in the things we call church. It's in this unseen organism that exists in a different dimension, the dimension of the new creation, where people are actually learning to live loved by God and love each other without having to control or possess each other. Where you find people doing that, the church takes expression. And what you're finding, what I'm finding there is people have no desire to organize it, maintain it, manage it, direct it, put all the... No, just enjoy. Enjoy the expression when it appears, as long as it appears. And when God's done with that expression, let it go and see what else He has next. There's a way to live in this reality called church. Yeah, it's very different than we were taught. It's not the organization down the road or the new house church starting up in your area. The Church of Jesus Christ is that bride without spot or wrinkle that He is shaping over the whole world. It exists in and around you right now. You may not see it yet, but the harder you look for it, the harder it will be to find it. When you learn that when my life becomes about Jesus and His kingdom, then I'm going to get to participate in the church as she's unfolding in the earth. And that our 2,000-year-old experiment of religious history is, once man decides we can manage this, we can control it, we can sustain it, it always ends up either becoming just empty and irrelevant, or at worst, becoming most hurtful. That is a piece of things I'm working on these days. I don't know what we're going to do this fall. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I believe God's will unfolds in our lives much more than I think we get to plan. And I'm going to set a 4-month plan. We're going to do this many podcasts on these subjects. And I'm going to do one every week because that's my commitment. I don't know that I'm going to travel, but I might. I've got some interesting invitations, praying about, seeing if the timing's here. God wants me home here working on this for the next 4 or 5 months, then that's what I'm going to do and love it. How often we podcast, we'll find out. But I tell you what, I love the fact that, you know what, I just have to wake up today and do what He asked me to do. And I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll do it again. And I'll wake up the following and do it again. And somehow when we cross paths, I think I can at least encourage you to this. Don't go every Friday looking for a podcast because you're going to be disappointed. Let them come when they come. And same with blogs. But my honest thing is to get this book done and then find a way to make it available in the world. I have a sense that it'll be different than what I've done in the past, but I don't know what that difference is yet. I just know that I think the content of this thing will really help people see what we have had a hard time seeing from a distance, and thus have resorted to our own devices to great pain and frustration. Instead of waking up not only in the glory of the Father's love for me, which is so rich and real, but also awakening into that great that greater reality, which is His bride in the world, which already exists, is already growing and being shaped. And when you see her, when you see brothers and sisters love each other deeply from the heart without controlling each other, but able to do things together that God gives them to do and love each other deeply, then you found the expression of that bride. And you know what? There's no end to how glorious she is. That's a glorious thing. So maybe as I write this, I get that excited about a chapter or two, I'll come back and talk to you about it. I don't know. But feel free to use the God Journey page if you want to connect with other people, either in the forum, in the comments under the blog, under this particular one. Go ahead and have a conversation. See who God connects you with. What I've noticed over, and I'll say this and be done today, I've noticed over the course of, 7, 8 years we've been doing this God Journey, is that there are people who hang around it, who got connected to each other, who spun off ways to communicate for each other with each other, have nothing to do with the God Journey. I haven't seen them around for 4 or 5 years. But occasionally I'll run across somebody and say, oh, yeah, I'm in touch with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I go, man, those were people from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and they found a way to relate to each other and let that relationship grow. And there was no need to keep it on the God Journey or no reason to identify it with that. And I applaud that. Our whole desire in starting this was that this would become irrelevant in the better conversations you get to have with people. Maybe it's online. Hopefully someday people who live right down the street or right across town with you. You know, I'm convinced that we find ourselves among the body of Christ, not by focusing on all things church, not by trying to find a group or get a group together that believes things the way we do. It's not even by seeking like-minded people. It's simply opening up to the conversations that God's put around us and loving the people that God's put us alongside every day. Just keep loving people, finding your way into conversations that matter. And you know what? You'll wake up one morning and discover that you're smack dab in the middle of this incredible bride Jesus is shaping in all the earth. It's not ours to do. It's His to do. It's ours to recognize and enjoy.
Traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,